If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Illini staff writer Matt Stevens and Illini guy's director of recruiting Kedrick Prince. And we're not going to have the same tone as we had last week when we had the defeat at the hand of the Hoosiers. This week, the Illini kind of pulled a little bit of an upset in terms of, you know, a lot of folks really were thinking that this Virginia team was going to go volcanic and erupt all over in terms of an offensive eruption. And Ryan Walters and his defense, despite everything that was done to make their job harder, they sucked it up and somehow held a fairly effective offense to 3 points. Matt, you were just downstairs talking with the coaching staff and the players. What are your initial thoughts on what we saw out there this evening or this afternoon?
Well, my initial thoughts are kind of exemplary of what the column's going to be on Illini guys penned by me, which is the most important assistant coach on this campus at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is Ryan Walters, and it's not close. And quite frankly, if any of the basketball guys want to argue with me, you have my number. You can come and you can come talk to me. Because Illini fans need to appreciate Ryan Walters for as long as they have him. And I tend to believe they may not have him for much longer, because if this keeps up, there's going to be a blue blood program wanting to win a national championship that are going to hire him as a defensive coordinator. There's going to be an NFL team that wants him to coordinate their defense. And I'm not kidding. Or there's going to be a Power Five school that wants him to be their head coach. And again, I'm not kidding. It is mystifying, Mike Kegley, that you can turn the ball over 4 times and be up 21-3 at halftime. And the reason you are is because the defense just doesn't do anything other than force a 3 and out every single time. And for an offense that put up over 400 yards in the air last year in Charlottesville, which seemed to be the bellwether point of the Ryan Walters defensive resurgence, quite frankly, to where they are now is astounding. And I think they can win a lot of games by playing clean football and relying on this defense. And they can do a lot. They can win a lot of games, especially right here at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, by doing exactly that. I think the second half might have been boring for some people. Get used to it, because I think Brett Bielema wants to win as boring as he possibly can. And, this is the biggest win of his coaching career at Illinois. And I'm not kidding. I know they won at Penn State last year. I know they won the hat last year. But I thought this was the biggest game of his Illini tenure. This is game 15. It gets them right back on track for a postseason game. And they took a team that I think that was projected to make a bowl game in Virginia and completely made them look like they have a lot of problems going forward. And maybe they do, but for the mistakes that Illinois made in Bloomington, this team is off to an unbelievable start, especially on the defensive side of the football. And I don't suspect there isn't a game on the schedule that they look at right now and think that they can't stay in the ball game for the rest of the year simply because of what they're doing from a scheme standpoint and what they're doing from a production standpoint in terms of players on defense. And as you saw a lot of games today where the defense keeps a team in a game and then eventually you have a winning moment, you can win the game. Illinois' defense did not allow its mistakes being made by its offense to tip the favor in Virginia in any way, shape, or form, whether that be momentum or whether that be points on the scoreboard. And that's commendable, to say the least, because they proved today that they can beat teams that you know they're going to have to beat in order to get to that postseason game come Christmas time.
Yeah, well, no, this game was a back against the wall game. I'll talk about that as well tomorrow. And they go down to 1-2 playing a Chattanooga team that may not be a great team, but a team that they'll have to be wary of a letdown. And 2-2 may not be a good enough record to go through the Big Ten. And all of a sudden now they have an opportunity at 3-1. And as Kedrick and I were talking off the air before this started, right now this team could very easily be sitting at 3-0 and watching other teams, as you know, Wisconsin lost today, as Iowa lost today. And even though it doesn't really matter to us, Notre Dame lost today. I love that. It's been an amazing day. And that Illinois defense, really the only weakness that they've shown is that they aren't incredibly deep. Ked, you saw the game from that same vantage point in Memorial Stadium. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm wearing my Illini guys hat that you guys gave me as a staff member, and I'm tipping it to none other than Ryan Walters. I mean, Matt and I was talking in the press box today, and he's right. You fans need to enjoy this. I tell you what, to tell you how frustrated Virginia got at the end of the game, they took the starting quarterback out. When they got to the 10-yard line, 15-yard line, they brought the starting quarterback in just so they could score a touchdown. And the celebration that Coach Walters did on the sideline, you can see why those kids love playing for him. I've watched enough Illinois games because I'm 1,000 years old, sarcasm. Miss tackles. They tackle well in open field, and they just make plays. And, you know, if they could just be average on offense, I mean, like, and I don't want to be negative because I'll tell you right now, I love Barry Lunney Jr. I think he's awesome. I think he's smart with his play calling. But if they could just be average, I look at all the scores around the Big Ten today, and I don't know how you two feel, but I think Illinois should have put up about 35 to 40 points today. You take the win, but you want to see that. I mean, just the missed field goals, and I'm going to tell you, that's a concern. People can pretend that it's not. At some point, I thought the last field goal that Caleb missed, that I thought, okay, Brett Bielema was going to give him an opportunity to boost his confidence. But at some point, when it's 4th-and-2, depending upon where they are on the field, they're going to start going for it because you got to give yourself a chance. And that's going to cost you games. So I don't know what he was today. I mean, I can't remember if he was 1 for 2 or 3. Those are points that cost games. And hard because you see a team close. You're just really close, but you're just not certain. But I like what they're doing on defense, and it stinks because I know the way the game works, and Matt started off his opening statement. He's got a race last year.
Well, and I tell you the other thing that got you're cutting out there a little bit, Ked. Let me jump in here and maybe you get to a little better sell. The thing that I thought was amazing was you start off the game with an interception. The usually totally reliable Chase Brown fumbles the ball. You have a 3-and-out, and you have a 3-and-out. As you kick that second punt, you're only down 3-0, which is a trip right there. That alone would be a tribute to a defense to be able to pull that off. And, of course, then you had the miraculous bad judgment of the punt returner down there. The Illini get a touchdown. So obviously Barry Lunney knew that that was going to happen. He set up the punt for that touchdown. We'll give him all the credit in the world for that as the offensive coordinator. But you have that happen, and all of a sudden, with a pretty horrific offensive performance, you're ahead. And to me, that's the part where this defense, you know, earned its way. And then, of course, time and time again, they were forced to defend the ground because the offense just wasn't clicking, except for a few drives there in the second quarter. I got to say, you know, I tweeted during the game, Ked. I took I commented on one of your tweets, and I just said most likely to be a head coach someday. And I think if I'm heading a team, Power Five, and even if I'm in a big conference, I think I look at this performance here at Illinois, which is a perennial, let's be real honest, they've been a doormat for the last 30 years. He's got a doormat playing defense as good as Michigan and Ohio State. I don't think there's a lot of risk taking Ryan Walters and elevating him to a head coach. Am I going too far here?
No, and I know I'm not the only one who noticed it. If you guys remember, early last season, I mean, after the adjustments after the Virginia game, that's why he got a raise. He's one of the top 10 highest paid defensive coordinators in the country. The thing I was saying before the bad reception, and I'm sorry for those out there listening, is that he makes adjustments. So many years we've talked about just having a coach make adjustments at halftime. This dude is at a different level. What is he, 38 years old? I'm impressed. And like you said, they see talent. I mean, I'm from the Quad Cities, and, you know, there's a local kid here, you know, named Matthew Bailey, he's a freshman, who was just interviewed by two different other media members in the post game. This kid, his other offers were South Dakota State and Western Illinois, and now he's in the 2D position in Illinois, and he's on the field. He recovered a fumble day, and he had a touchdown today. They see talent that I like. And one of the things he mentioned in the post game was Coach Walters having enough faith in him and believing in him. So I just think the fans should enjoy it. And I know if the offense can get going, you know, you give me 35 points a game, I like Illinois to play against anyone. The defense is going to have a bad game. That's just human nature. But they, for the most part, they're in right position and they make plays.
Matt, your thoughts on that? Am I going too far? Because If I was the coach, you pick a team, Nebraska, I'd have no problem bringing Brian Walters down there to bring back the Cornhusker glory days.
I think honestly, it's more about fit with Ryan. I mean, he's priced himself out of almost every Group of Five job, like by what he gets paid here to be the defensive coordinator at Illinois.
Yep.
Credit to Josh Whitman for doing that in a roundabout way, right? I mean, I look at Colorado, his alma mater, and go where, you know, Eric Bieniemy used to babysit him. You know, like that's a possibility. I mean, I don't know how much I want to play this game, but like I said it before, I don't think it's an unbelievable stretch. Like if there's an NFL team that wants to win a Super Bowl, or an NFL team that wants to take a shot on a college defensive coordinator to coordinate their defense, Ryan Walters is probably your guy. He's young enough and you know, has the experience calling defenses and has experience calling defenses in not only an odd man front, but also in a traditional 4-3. So right. He allows you to be a defensive coordinator for all 30, however many teams are in the National Football League. So I think that's a possibility. I think there's some Power Five programs that are going to have new head coaches that are going to want to win a national title. They might want to hire Ryan Walters to be their defensive coordinator, and don't think that those Power Five blue bloods can't double Ryan Walters' salary. I've seen it done as a defensive coordinator. So, but I will say this, for all the people that have this you know, hand-wringing about the Illinois offense. Guys, they dog-walked the ball constantly up and down the field. I'm sorry, but they did. And the idea, I mean, that look, they had four turnovers, and it ticked off Brett Bielema to no end. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, if and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. But if Pat Bryant doesn't fumble the ball on the goal line, that's another touchdown.
I agree.
You know, and I mean, Chase Brown, how many times is Chase Brown going to put it on the ground?
He gets a free pass. He's Chase
Brown. That. I mean, and so all of those things, I think Illinois looks at this and goes, there are things that we need to clean up with a bye week coming up that we can clean up. I mean, it's not like last year where you didn't see light at the end of the tunnel because there just weren't enough playmakers and there wasn't somebody scheming it up for the playmakers that they had. I don't feel that way. I don't. But I also want to caution people that, I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Brett Bielema is not out here to entertain you. He's out here to get as many W's as he possibly
can. Yep, I agree.
And so 24-3 against an ACC team that went to a bowl game and won 9 games last year. I know they have a new coaching staff. That's just fine with Brett Bielema. It's absolutely just fine with him. And he'll
Matt,
take
Matt, I kind of agree a little bit, but I just want to play devil's advocate. I agree with you because that's what he did in Wisconsin. But you went down there and you know he's frustrated with the points and you're right. The turnovers, the penalties, whatever. I forget which kid had a penalty, but he called the kid out personally. I know he's not expecting to put up 50 points, but I think he knows that they're more than capable of doing better than what they're doing. Not that because you don't ever apologize for a win, you put up 24 points because that would have been great last weekend. But I think he knows what they're capable of, if you will.
Well, he's pissed off. Ken, he was pissed off at halftime. I asked him the question. He said, yeah, uh-huh. I was pissed off. But don't underestimate the idea that he's trying to do this high-flying offense stuff that, you know, again, I don't know how else to say it. You know, Bielema is not here to entertain you. And I think there are a lot of times that fans get caught up in, I want to be entertained more than I want, you know, the program to consistently win 8-9 games and have it on solid footing, you know. And so this is a really solid win for Brett Bielema today. I know that there are things that they have to clean up. Look, Alabama won by a point today, and they had more penalties than they've ever had under Nick Saban today. But they walked out of Austin, Texas with a 1-point win, and they'll get that cleaned up. Trust me, they will. And there are a lot of people at Alabama that are wringing their hands today about how their football team played, but they're doing it in a win. And I like, look, if we're going to hand wring about a win here at Illinois under Brett Bielema, I'm just telling you, like, there's going to be a lot of these 24-3s coming, folks.
I don't know
about it. There's going to be a lot of these 24-3s.
Yeah. I don't know that I feel bad about the victory. I will say that I can understand Coach Bielema's frustration because, you know, the team already has almost as many turnovers as they had all season last year. And he preaches football 101. I mean, the man lives and breathes, you know, we don't lose games. We force other teams to beat us. So it's got to be frustrating. He takes pride in that. Mm-hmm. The number of penalty calls is abnormal as well. And I'll be honest with you, what I felt today was because again it's 24-3. They're, you know, they basically put the Cavaliers in a sleeper hold and that was the match. But what I thought today was really interesting was the offense had other chances to score and they didn't. It reminded me a little bit of a basketball game. When we go take a look at Illinois, you know, from a basketball standpoint, when they're not shooting threes well, where they have multiple empty possessions and you're like, shoot, guys, would have been nice to score there. But no, you come down and you brick a three or you turn over the ball and you never get a shot up. That's what I felt was going on the offense. To me, those are all fixable things. And the interesting thing, and Coach brought it up on his interview on TV, was that he's like, this team's going to be pretty good when we get the offensive stuff fixed.
Yeah.
And so you can understand where he's probably got a growing sense of frustration and at the same time, a growing sense of confidence, because he trusts himself to be able to get these problems fixed. And he trusts his staff to do that. And when they do, this team's going to be really tough, because if, you know, you take away the couple shots that Virginia had where they got the ball in Illini territory, that was generally not a fault of the defense. And this game gets to be much less stressful for Illini fans.
I got the sense, guys, that everybody on the Illinois sideline knew the score was going to be fill in the blank to three. Now, however you wanted that to end is fine.
Yeah.
But it was going to be fill in the blank to three. They won 24-3. I'm sure a lot of Illinois fans would feel better if it was 41-3. You know,
we always would.
Right. But at the end of the day, like, what the hell difference does it make at the end of the day? Like, you know, I mean, and I almost think, going into a week, a bye week, where you've got 12 days to prepare for, like, to sit around and try to get your body right, this is exactly what this coaching staff probably wanted at the end of the day. Like, if we're really going to peg it down, I mean, there's adjustments that they need to make on offense, but also understand, guys, you're seeing this all, I'm sorry, but you're seeing this all across the country too. And I've seen it all across the country throughout 3 weeks now. This is what transfer portal world football is all about now, is that I don't think you're going to see an optimal team play offense, you know, every week, because everybody just doesn't have the same kind of symmetry and chemistry all up and down their offense throughout 11 people, you know? And so some of these mistakes you're seeing, it's because, you know, I honestly believe that. I think it's because Pat Bryant's never played a significant role up until now, you know,
And
some of these pieces on the offensive line have never played a significant role up until now. And Tommy DeVito hasn't been a quarterback in this offense, but for three games, you know? And so, you know, you're not going to see optimal offense until you probably hit October or maybe even closer to Halloween in college football now, just simply because if kids can go wherever they want, there really isn't time for these kids to get clicking chemistry wise the way it used to be. And quite frankly, guys, the way that you're seeing offenses click the way you are, like, say Georgia rolls up 49 on Oregon in week one, that's because everybody on that Georgia offense has pretty much been playing together for God knows how many years, at least multiple years. And you're seeing that. You're seeing Ohio State, you know, sputter, I mean, against a Notre Dame, and now against a little bit, they picked it up a little bit, but sputtered again against Arkansas State. You're seeing high octane offenses, like, you know, USC wasn't clicking against Rice, and now they're in a game right now against Stanford. And Texas A&M is supposed to have this $25 million recruiting class, a lot of which is on offense, and they got beat today. And Notre Dame has a new quarterback and a whole bunch of new pieces on offense, and they've lost two games now. You know, Texas loses its quarterback today against Alabama, and then now suddenly they can't move the football, you know? And so there's just a lot of elements that allow for, I would say, lack of chemistry chaos in college football in the months of September. And I think Illinois is doing a really, really good job of trying to play through that right now. If the worst thing that happens for Illinois right now is we got to clean it up and not turn the football over. And I go back to what Barry Lunny would tell me, guys, in fall camp and in spring, like, we're trying to complete passes against air first, because that's part of the process. Can't complete it against a defense until we complete it against air, you know? And so they're moving the football in ways that I wasn't entirely sure they were going to be able to do this early in the year. And they rolled up, you know, 250 yards in that half where they were up 21-3, and, you know, rolled up, you know, almost 400 yards of offense, you know, and really took their foot off the gas in the second half, quite honestly, again, because I think everybody on the sideline knew, one, let's not run Chase Brown into the ground again. If we only think Virginia's going to score 3 points, two, we think Virginia's only going to score 3 points. So let's control the ball. And I'm quoting former Auburn coach, current Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, live to punt sometimes. It's not the worst thing in the world. And quite frankly, guys, if Illinois had lived to punt, they'd have pitched a shutout today.
Yeah, well, and again, I look at this game as, like I said, it was one that they handily just dominated, a team that offensively looked like they could at least give Illinois some challenges, particularly with the length at wide receiver, the quarterback who's mobile, you know. And And so I thought this was a real confidence builder. And at the same time, like I said, you're watching the Iowa Hawkeyes, who now have scored 7 points a game, but only one touchdown. You know, Wisconsin gets beat by Washington State at Camp Randall. You know, maybe this changes around the way things look. And my gut reaction is this coaching staff isn't going to say, well, we're going to try to go 6-6. This coaching staff is probably starting to work on the mindset of how do we get these guys to go 8-4? That's their job, right? Is to take a look at these opportunities and figure out how you're going to grab them.
One thing I will say about that, not to cut you off, Mike, is that the one thing I really love about this coaching staff, and specifically this defensive coaching staff, is I promise you that starting tomorrow, they're going to try to figure out how to beat Chattanooga. As corny as that sounds, they're not thinking about 6 wins. They're not thinking about 8-4. They're thinking about trying to beat Chattanooga, maybe, just maybe, because I know of how they used fall camp. Maybe they're thinking about starting the preparation and, quite frankly, starting that orange folder that Brett Bielema now has about Wisconsin right now. Like, that's what they're thinking about. And I think that allows that – And I say that because that's what allowed today to happen. Because we just spoke to Tommy DeVito on offense, who had a relatively, I thought, pretty good day, short of the pick, you know, and short of
a couple day. Beautiful pass. I mean, that pass to Bryant, I mean, was on his hands.
When's the last? Yeah, I mean, honest to God, when's the last time you've seen an Illinois quarterback do that?
Oh, I mean, that looked like he literally walked up and dropped it into his hands. The one to Marchese was, I mean, when was the last time we saw a score like that, 39 yards to a tight end that hit that fast for a touchdown? I mean, that was just wide open. The pass was perfect. The route was perfect. Yeah, you know, we haven't seen that since maybe Shieldhouse.
Anyway, the reason I mentioned Tommy was they asked him about how he got over the Indiana loss and started and play and tried to play as well as he could in Virginia. His response immediately was, well, we couldn't let Indiana beat us twice.
Yeah.
And so I you saw this early last year in the month of September that I think they let UTSA beat them twice, which is why they didn't win the game against Maryland here. Why they didn't win the game against Purdue on the road. You know, they just let things fester. They killed it, you know, right when they got off the bus from Bloomington and had a revenge game to prepare for, and just kind of was like, look, we're not letting this loss happen twice. And so I really think this coaching staff does a really good job of stressing what they're not doing well, which according to what I'm going to write also beyond my column is Brett Bielema said after Indiana, you can't do this and win. We cannot do this and win. And their players almost went out today and said, yeah, we're going to prove our coach wrong. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can.
I'm sure he enjoys that too.
Right. But anyway, like that's the thing that they know that they have to work on. If ball security is their problem, they can fix that. They can fix that. Not being able to move the ball at all against Wisconsin last year is a problem that couldn't have been fixed. Not being able to move the ball, quite frankly, against Virginia last year is a problem that couldn't be fixed. Not being able to move the ball against Rutgers last year was a problem that could not be fixed. These are problems that can be fixed because quite frankly, they're walking the dog all the way down the field, and then Pat Bryant just fumbles at the goal line and takes away 7 points. The Caleb Griffin thing, look, Mike, you know this better than anybody. Like, look around the country, everybody. Hashtag college kickers has been a thing for over a decade. It just hasn't been a thing for at Champaign-Urbana and at Illinois. I'm sorry, it just hasn't. Going all the way back to Chase.
You're right. It's definitely something.
And so if you have a better solution, if you have a better solution than Caleb Griffin, please tell me who it is, because he's the only kicker on scholarship right now. And quite frankly, I believe he's the only one on the roster that can make a 40-yard field goal. And quite frankly, like, if Brett Bielema was going to keep going for it on fourth down, math says he's not going to get it all the time. And to have Caleb Griffin standing there on the sidelines, probably not a good idea. So he's 4 of 8 right now. He's got to get it figured out. But, you know, Texas lost by a point today, and I watched their kicker at the end of the first half miss a 20-yard field goal.
I'll be honest with you. There were a couple calls that in that game that
– No, but ironic, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot
I'm just saying Texas got the short end of the stick at home.
A lot of college kickers out there right now that are doing exactly what Caleb Griffin
did. Missed. I agree.
And I will also point out, again, he's the same kid that nutted up and hit a 47-yarder on the road into the wind, and it was going to be good from, like, 57. Like, so yeah. It's there, and I wouldn't be that worried about it. Again, it's another way of leaving points on the board, but I do believe that everybody on that home sideline today knew the final score was going to be something to 3. It just ended up being 24. So,
hey, Ked, did you have any other thoughts that jumped out at you about the game?
Yeah, I just want to give kudos to Coach Bielema. I think he's one win away from being 500 at Illinois. And, you know, Mike, you're the master at the history of the numbers of the coaching at Illinois and what it's been like. You know, win is a win, and he's slowly getting it done. And listening to the both of you speak right there, you know, fixing the little things, I think the penalties and, you know, putting the ball on the carpet, I think all that stuff's going to get fixed. I'm just really, really excited about the future. You know, I know fans are sick of hearing me say this. There couldn't have been a better hire, you know, that was out there who would have took the Illinois job. I just, you know, and they're competitive. Guys, they were blown off the field last year. Illinois, ever since that Virginia game, they've been very competitive. And that's what you could ask for. You know, yes, you know, you want wins, and they're coming. I just said I think he's a game away from being 500. I like what he's doing, and I love the way these recruits talk to him. So if you guys want to know more about the recruits that were there today, make sure you subscribe to lineiguys.com, because we'll have a couple of recruits that were there today and their thoughts on the coaching staff and the facilities and the team.
Yeah, so that leads me to let people know, you go to lineiguys.com, you can subscribe there, $99 a year, and you get full access not only to Matt's stories, not only to Ked's stories, but you get full access on the message boards, so that when somebody pings Matt and says, hey, in your article, you mentioned this, what did you mean by that? They get some of the follow-ups that you just can't get reading an article. That's the difference between Illini Guys and maybe reading your newspaper, where it's very passive. You read the newspaper, you move on to the next story. Well, with Illini Guys, you can actually talk to these folks, you know, via, you know, the message boards or private messages, etc. So it makes for a really good deal, and you get 7 days before we bill you, so you can kick the tires on the car. And most people find out that they like driving in a Ferrari, so they stay at Illini Guys. So Matt, as we look at this now, this team has come through 2-1. They're facing a Chattanooga team, I think, that we would all say they should beat. But a Chattanooga team that's good enough that if the Illini don't play well, they could find themselves on the wrong end of a score. Where are you at with them right now? You know, last week was a very tough week. Illini guys, we tend not to get very negative compared to maybe other places, but we were all concerned that this became a must-win situation, and they passed with flying colors. Where are you at with this team right now?
I felt like I was like Baghdad Bob last week in Bloomington, not only because of all the darn fireworks that they shoot off every time Indiana scores a point, but like I was the guy that was like, guys, it's like this sucks, but they played well, and they I think that they should have won. Like they didn't get outmanned. I think Illinois should be 3-1 when Brett Bielema makes the return on October 1st to Madison. I think that's where you got to look at this. And then they have offensive issues that they've got to figure out. One of which is, and I'll just mention this, they've got to figure out if they can get Julian Pearl healthy before they go to Madison on October 1st. And they've got numerous weeks, more than one, multiple weeks to now get him.
Almost 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, to get him healthy now for that game. Because you got the bye week, you got the Chattanooga game on Thursday night, and then you got a long week of preparation before you go to Madison. So the idea basically is that you got to get healthy. I don't think they're going to have Josh McCray. You've got to find a second tailback. And I think the defense, I think I think I tweeted this, Mike Cadley. I'm sorry, I don't mean to struggle with this. For all of the, hey, they're not getting pressure on the quarterback coming out of Bloomington. If the quarterback doesn't want to get sacked, he's not going to get sacked. And Connor Belzac does not want to get sacked in his offense. But they're getting pressure. They're changing the line of scrimmage, and they're getting in the backfield. So they got 5 sacks today because Virginia's offensive line, quite frankly, is terrible. Their offensive play calling to their offensive line that is terrible is terrible. And Illinois took advantage of that with some pretty supreme pass rushers, starting with Johnny Newton, going with Keith Randolph, and now with Gabe Akis. Gabe Yakis, who's a freshman sensation.
Oh man, he is a stud. Holy cow, that
guy's got NFL written all over him.
He does. That's a guy who's a 3-year player and jumps to the.
If I want to say this, like, get all you can of Ryan Walters, folks. Get all you can of Johnny Newton this year, because I'm not sure you're going to get another one. I don't know if you're going to get another year out of Keith Randolph. Like, get all you can out of the law firm. Because they're getting pressure, and I think that they're going to play in the three-letter leagues sooner rather than later. So I think there's a lot of good stuff going on after this game, and I think that it's a game that I didn't think Illinois was going to win. And about after the first quarter, I thought there's no way that they can't lose. They can't, you know.
I agree.
They're going to figure out how to lose this game, because I don't think Virginia's going to score a touchdown.
Well, and I got a question. Go ahead. I got a question for both you guys then.
Go ahead.
So now I'm looking. Northwestern's 1-1 after being beaten by Duke. Iowa's 1-1 with averaging 7 points a game. Wisconsin's 1-1 losing at home. You've got obviously Illinois at 2-1. Nebraska's 1-1, but struggling as we record this. And Purdue's 1-1, and they probably should be 2-0, but they had some horrific play calling down the stretch against Penn State. Is this Western Division, is this more wide open than anybody thought? Because right now the only team that doesn't have a loss is Minnesota. And I somehow feel like, and we will find out, but I just don't think Brett Bielema is a good matchup for PJ Fleck. I'm going to ask you first, Matt, and then we'll go to Ked. But is there maybe more opportunity than Illini fans thought would be there?
God help us if the West this year is PJ's world, right? yeah, I think so. Once again, go after last year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that, there really isn't a dominant team in the West. You know, there just really isn't. So, I do think the Western Division is up for grabs. And again, I think it starts on October 1st for this Illini program. They have to go to Madison and win if they want to win the West. That's the next bell cow game where you go, okay, now we know coming out of this game that it's going in the right direction. I made that point last week that this is the bell cow game of the Brett Bielema era at Illinois where you go, okay, is this going in the right direction? Now we know the answer to that is yes. Now can this team in year 2 challenge to win the West? We're going to find that out on October 1st. And that's the starting bell cow point, because the Purdue's, the Minnesota's, and the Iowas of the world, they're all coming here to Champaign-Urbana. And that's going to be a big deal if Illinois can pull that off in Madison. And then I think it's all on their home turf, whether or not they want to represent the West in Indianapolis later on this year.
Ted, what are your thoughts on that now that we see the way the West is? Maybe we can see the way the West is won.
I said from the very beginning, if they have good quarterback play, you know, you and I, Matt, we've done a number of these, and our concern going into the season was wide receiver play. It's not great, but it's manageable, and I think it's open. I mean, let's just be honest. A loss is a loss. I have to respect Indiana, but that with that Illinois, I played Indiana the entire game. They could be sitting at 3-0 right now, and then people would be talking about Illinois as one of the possible favorites because they have a Big Ten win and maybe 2-0 in non-conference play with the possibility of going 3-0. So I like their chances. They're just as good as anybody else. I don't think there's a great team. I always will respect Iowa and Wisconsin because they're just tough. Even though Iowa is not scoring points, guys, they're not giving points up either. It's hard to score on them. So
that's right.
There's a reason for that, yes. And there's a reason for that. So, you know, and I think it's going to be a chess match for a lot of coaches, you know, when they play Iowa. Minnesota is good. I mean, and, you know, it was Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin. Northwestern surprising me a little bit. But having said that, to answer your question, I think it's open and they have a shot. Just don't blow the game. Don't do what they did last week. Don't just give games away. You know, when we were all thinking when that was over last week when they lost Indiana, I don't want to keep harping on that. That could be the one game that cost them from going to a bowl or a better bowl game. Don't do that to yourself because all the games matter. I know the coaches know that. I know they understand that. But that was one that they gave away.
Yep. Well, and it's really interesting because if you look through, and of course, folks realize we're recording this Saturday night. You know, right now, Nebraska's tied at the half with Georgia Southern, 28-28. You have Indiana in the second quarter, who's, granted, it's early in the second quarter, but they're down to Idaho, 7-0, which I didn't see that coming. And it's still early in the game. And when you start looking at the teams that lost this week, I think it's going to be much more wide open. And again, I look at, you know, styles make fights. And a team that's got a lot of discipline, that doesn't turn the ball over, that doesn't have a lot of penalties, Brett Bielema's been able to coach that for years. So the problems that Illinois has are typically the problems that he's good at solving. If he can get the calculus right, because we all know that every team has its own personality, its own players, there's a lot of reasons for Illini fans to have some hope. And of course, as you go throughout college football, I really think the better team didn't win today. I think Alabama's a better team overall, but Texas, if Ewers hadn't got hurt the way he was playing in the first quarter, there would have been some problems for Alabama. You see Notre Dame get beat by Marshall. So 2007, they rise up and beat Michigan. Now they rise up and beat Notre Dame. You have all these different upsets going on. It just gives more fuel to the fire when Coach Bielema is explaining football 101, because most of the time when these teams do that, it's because they are letting those fundamentals go. You know, I mean, because clearly Alabama doesn't have a talent deficit unless they play an NFL team. You know, they might run into some equals a little bit if they run into Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson, maybe. But, you know, so it's all about getting the details done. So I'm going to ask each of you to kind of wrap up a little bit. So, Ked, any final thoughts that you have?
They won 24-3. That's the bottom line. You know, clean things up. You know, bye week could be good for them and get healthy. I mean, Matt's right. They're going to need Josh McCray back at some point in time. You know, you don't want to, you know, run Chase Brown to death. You know, Brett Bielema said in one of his post-game press conferences, you can't – a running back, is, you know, can't take a lot of hits. I hope he gets healthy, Josh, and I want to see them clean up those stupid penalties, quit putting the ball on the carpet and give yourself a chance. If they win 7-6, I mean, I'll tell you what, if they won 3-0 last week against Indiana, nobody would care.
Yep, yep. Matt, final thoughts here?
I think this is exactly what you wanted to see, minus the turnovers today. Is it not? That's my overall summary, is that, guys, Barry Lenny Jr. comes into this, you know, this job, his entire coaching career, but for 2 years at UTSA, has been a tight ends coach. 3 different tight ends caught a pass today. 2 different tight ends caught a touchdown. I mean, like, for all of the hand-wringing, that position's never been unwrangled at Illinois. Like, you saw that today. I mean, and I'll just say this. Like, again, I know it's not sexy. I know it's not, quote-unquote, going to sell tickets. But if Illinois' defense plays like this for 9 more games, they're going to be in 9 more games. The worst thing you want as a coach, honestly, is to know that you're going to be in a, have to be in a shootout to win. And I think Illinois knows that if we, like, yeah, we can win a race to 24, or we can win a race to 28, you know, and if that's the amount of points it's going to take to win, because our defense is going to be one of the better ones in the Big Ten or the better ones in the country. I mean, honest to God, when they hired Brett Bielema in December of 2020, I thought his objective was, one, to have one of the best running games in the Big Ten. Chase Brown, I'm sorry, but I have not seen a running back yet in this league that's better than him. I just haven't, period. Two, his objective was to play really, really good special teams. Caleb Griffin's got to get that fixed, but everything – they scored a touchdown on special teams today. And three, it was basically to try to have the most physical defense they possibly could, get off the field so that he can control the clock and win games like this. This is exactly how Brett Bielema envisioned it, minus the turnovers and, you know, the special teams errors by Caleb Griffin. This is what you hired him for today, to win games like this, like against opponents like Virginia, at home, like this. And it happened today. So, I mean, in year two, I called this the most important game in Brett Bielema's tenure at Illinois. Good on him, because he put probably maybe his one of his better performances of his Illinois tenure, and that's why Illinois won 24-3.
Yep. Well, that's what I guess ultimately we got to keep in mind. I do like seeing the fact that we are seeing probably more of an evolution of the offense than maybe any of us expected. And, you know, the pacing is quicker. We see passing when last year we might have seen runs. You know, I don't mind Tommy making life a little bit more exciting every once in a while, because I like getting the ball up in the air. So this was a game that a lot of us thought was going to be a shootout, that we didn't know if the Illini would have enough bullets in their gun to keep to stay up with the shooters of Virginia, and it turned out to be a one-sided affair that, to be honest, an offense got totally disconnected and discombobulated. And I think this was one of the better performances defensively that I can remember an Illinois team having. Boy, you got to go back a long time for a game this good. So we will be, obviously, next week is a bye week for the Illini. They'll be resting at least a few players and getting prepared for Chattanooga, and probably comboing a little bit of Wisconsin work. We will have a lot, though, so just stay tuned. We'll have, you know, one podcast next week, probably dropping on Thursday night, to get you ready for at least the weekend, even if the Illini aren't playing. And of course, IlliniGuys.com will be there with all the action. Again, you go to IlliniGuys.com, and the key is those message boards or the forums. That's where you can have contact with and ask questions of Matt Stevens, of Kedrick Prince, of Brad Sturdy. So you can get some of your questions answered. And it's very personal type of thing where, you know, people are out there talking to one another. Sometimes it gets a little crazy, but that's just the way it is. We also have a couple other podcasts. Ked has his Ked's Recruiting Roundup, and Brad has Sturdy for 30. So be watching for those. You can subscribe to those. And of course, we have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our 2-hour weekly get ready for anything Illini based radio show. It's on 20 stations across Illinois. Go to our website and look up a radio button, and you can see what station, what day, and what time we're on. And then as well as that, of course, we also have our other website, which is Big Sports Radio. That's one that covers the Big Ten. And that is a free of charge website. And you can get all your Big Ten news over there. And there are forums that you can jump in there and argue with other fans of other schools. So that's always a lot of fun to talk smack. And if Brett Bielema turns this team around the way Brad Underwood has, it'll be really fun era to be an Illini fan. So with that, this is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm going to say goodbye and thank Matt Stevens and Kedrick Prince for jumping on board. And we will talk to you next week. Go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.